Day, World Cup qualifying campaign, not AFCON. Hey, Eddie, you know. World Cup qualifying campaign, match day 5 and 6. And Ghana begin the campaign in second position on the table. Only the top team qualifies. They take on Chad at 7 p.m. tonight. And I've been generous enough. I've secured 10 Ghana tickets. So I'll be showing you how you can win yourself a ticket on the show. Go and support the Black Stars of Ghana. 7 p.m. is the kickoff time against Chad. And after that, they fly out straight away to Morocco. 4 in the morning. And then they arrive on Saturday. Only have Sunday to prepare. Then they took on Madagascar on Monday. Madagascar are sitting pretty at the top of the table. They are on 10 points. Ghana on 9. But yesterday, Mali also closed the gap on Ghana. They won convincingly away from home by 3-0 against Comoros. Which means that Mali have now also comfortably secured themselves a very tight position in terms of this whole qualifying campaign. So it's getting interesting by the day as far as this World Cup qualifying campaign is concerned. It's really, really tight, and no team can afford to drop points. So this afternoon on the show, we are looking ahead to Ghana's game, whipping up support, your expectations, what players you expect to see in the lineup. Let's say very good additions in the team's technical backroom staff. What kind of influence will they be bringing on the way Otuado's team plays tonight? Whatever be the case, only 3 points will suffice. As many people like to say, it doesn't matter how they play. The most important thing is to win and then focus on that Monday match. We'll also take you around the continent to bring you some of the other games that have been played so far. Some shocking results here and there. Cameroon, with all their superstars, could not beat Eswatini. African football is really changing. But it's not affected them much because they are still top of their group in that World Cup qualifying. But today there are 11 matches across the continent. We'll look at all of that. Yesterday there were 12 matches, today there are 11 games. Two of them are currently ongoing. Botswana against Algeria, 28 minutes, 0-0. Equatorial Guinea and Sao Tome and Principe, 2-0 for Equatorial Guinea after just half an hour. And then you have some 4 more matches kicking off at 4 p.m. Then you've got 2 games kicking off at 7. And as late as 9 p.m., there are 3 matches kicking off at that time, including Ethiopia and Niger, Guinea-Somalia, then Ethiopia-Egypt, I beg your pardon, that is Guinea-Somalia, and then there's Niger against Morocco. All of those 3 matches are kicking off at 9 p.m. So it's football all the way to midnight tonight in World Cup qualifying. What a day. Yesterday's game saw Mozambique beat Uganda by 3-1. Cape Verde, they were 1-0 winners over Mauritius. Malawi lost at home to Namibia by 1-0. Sierra Leone dispatched Guinea-Bissau 3-1. Zimbabwe and Benin played at a cracking 2-2 draw. Then Gabon, they beat Seychelles by 3-0. Gambia and Kenya served up another thrilling 3-3 draw. Libya and Angola played out a 1-1 draw, and that, of course, was Ali Cisse's first game in charge of Libya, ending in a 1-1 draw against Angola. And then you had Comoros losing at home to Mali by 3-0. Now, Group A, Egypt are the ones on top with 10 points, even though they've only played 4 games in that group. They play their 5th match later today. They're followed by Sierra Leone, who have 8 points of their own. And then Burkina Faso are struggling in that qualifying series in Group A. They are fourth on the table with 5 points, but they have played one game less. If they were to win, they could go to 9 points and get closer to Egypt. Now, Group B is where a lot of people are very interested. Sudan are top of the group against in a group with Senegal, and they've both played 4 matches apiece. Senegal are 2 points behind in 8 points. So Kwesi Appiah doing incredible things with that Sudan team. Group C, Benin are top of the group, followed by Rwanda and South Africa. Those last two have played a game less. And you've also got the big surprise in that group is Nigeria. They are fit on the table. Having played 4 matches, they have only 3 points. So it's not looking good for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Group D have Cape Verde on top with 10 points now, followed by Cameroon, who have 9. Remember, only the top team will qualify. Libya also have 8, and Angola have 7. So you have 10, 9, 8, 7 in Group D. It's tight. Cape Verde, top, Cameroon, Libya, Angola. And then Group E has Morocco on top. No other team is really close to them. Of course, they have 9 points from 3 matches. That's maximum for them. You've also got Niger, Tanzania, Zambia, Congo, and Eritrea in that group. It looks like Morocco have run away with this particular one. Group F has Gabon on top with 12 points from 5 matches. Cote d'Ivoire have played a game less. They have 10. If they were to win, they would go to 13 points, one above Gabon. Group G, Mozambique are top of the table with 12 points from 5 matches. Algeria could overtake them, though, or go level with them if they were to win their game against Botswana. It's currently 0-0. Group H has Tunisia, top of the table, with 13 points. They've not conceded a goal in 5 matches. And then you've got, of course, Namibia behind them with 11 points as well. Group I is where Ghana is. Madagascar are top of the table with 10. Ghana have 9. Comoros have 9. Mali have 8 in what looks like an incredibly tight, tight group. All right, the guys are here. The show is proudly brought to you by Betway as well as Petrosol. Muftar Nabila Abdullahi is here. Daniel Cranting is here. Chitamaklu is here. Sichofer Philip Achirim is running a bit late, but he'll be here shortly. Later on the show as well, Ebo Appiah says he will pass by, so I'll wait for him. I'll deal with that guy. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, the people have put your microphones off over there, and they have disappeared. You understand? We should clap for them. Please, come this way. It's okay. Thankfully, I have other microphones, so please, come this way. I don't tolerate... what is that? Negligence! Okay, Cranton, set up your microphone. Listen, it should be a very interesting next few days for the Black Stars of Ghana with all of what we are witnessing from the past few days. It's been an incredible last few days with the team starting the preparations on Monday. There's been a lot of meet and greet in those last few days with the Black Stars in camp and what have you. But we'll see. But guys, quick thoughts on preparation so far. You've witnessed a few of those. As you, what have you picked up from training so far in terms of the last few days? What has impressed you? What hasn't?
Members of the team, which for me is crazy.
What are you saying?
Yeah,
How can officials attend training sessions more than actual members of the team?
That's right. Who said that?
Kofi Adams has attended more training sessions than everyone who didn't show up on Monday.
Oh, really?
Because he was there
on Monday. And nine players were there, sure.
Look,
okay.
We've spoken at length about how this thing should not become a distraction.
And just about 2 weeks ago, we were here talking about that thing. And how players even express reservations about it.
Say that again. The sports minister has attended more
training sessions than
some players.
In fact, than...
Majority of the sport.
He has attended more training sessions than 14 players.
Specifically.
Yes.
Than everyone who was not there on Monday.
Nine players were there on Monday.
The team who was not there on Monday. Kofi Adams has attended more training sessions than this one. Otto needs two.
President Mahama has also attended one.
Yeah. This one, friends, I think that it stops with the coach, because all of the other people who are part of this nonsense, they are direct beneficiaries.
Hold on. Why did he call it nonsense?
It is nonsense.
Hold on.
There is no value to be gained.
He says, hold on. Let him make the point so you can appreciate it better.
I'm trying to say that. Monday was the first time the team came to camp. So the UEFA president went to introduce the sports minister to the players. I just want to establish those things. Then Tuesday, he went to introduce regional ministers, in his words, regional FA chairman, plus all the ESCO members and the management committee members. He took them there on Tuesday to introduce all of them. Then Wednesday, he took President Mahama and his entourage, plus, of course, the sports minister was there as well, plus supporters union. When president was there, then he went to introduce everybody. They did another meet and greet. And that day, Tuesday, in fact, when the others were there, Asamoah Gyan.
We've seen all of that.
Then, what is your point?
Let him finish. When he finishes, he made the point.
Thursday, parliamentary select committee.
On Thursday, parliamentary. Actually, doesn't want me to finish. You see?
Sure.
Then Thursday, you took parliamentary select committee members. On sports, they went there, then they also gave speeches. The president gave speech, the sports minister gave speech, Kate gave speech, the
management committee.
They didn't talk.
The chairman,
Randy, he didn't talk.
This one.
The select committee.
He
talked.
His members also talked.
Then the select committee members, before that, they had talked in parliament. Then
they came to talk again.
Then, and you say you have a problem with the talking.
I said it is nonsense. When you interjected, I was hoping you were going to explain.
So I'm trying to say that which of those actions,
the exception that I would make
mm-hmm.
is that of the president. Because it's not every day that you see the president coming to the Black Stars training.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, and I mentioned this in a write-up on my journal online a couple of hours earlier. I don't think we should be moving the presidency to the Black Stars training ground. Because when the president moves, the presidency moves with him.
Right.
My position on this matter is this. There is no value to be gained from putting people who are looking for nothing but political capital from the team, and that's what it is. Kofi Adams, NSE, management committee, parliamentary, they all want to be seen to be working. Not because they are, whatever you think that elsewhere, the state protocol that provides certain supplementary services to the national teams, you think that they don't work, but you see the evidence. Do you see them making fiscal show of the work they are doing?
By attending trainings, they don't do that. All right,
what people don't realize is that the Black Stars coach every day has had to adjust his training program to accommodate these meetings. So, ordinarily, if he has to end the session at 5 or 6 and then disperse the players and say, all of you move into the bus, he has to tell them that at 6 p.m., whatever it is that you have to do, we are all staying here. If he has any notes that
he has
any notes that he wants to share with the players, if he wants to have some behind closed doors technical review with the players, he has to postpone that to accommodate some pointless speech from a politician who's looking for nothing.
You've made your point.
Friends, so I don't like this.
It's
you interrupted me while I was making the point.
He just needed to get your point.
Let me finish.
You've made your point.
Let me finish. I'm saying
I don't want us to dwell too much on that. That point is well
made. Let me finish. If I want to dedicate all of my time to talk about it, you are at liberty to end me when I'm done. But for as long as it is my time, this is what I want to dedicate my time to.
But you
when
finished.
When I'm done and you say there is no more time, I would respect that.
You finished.
But
no, I don't the same text. So at this point, he's saying that your time is done.
Look, I'm saying that Otto needs to realize that one way or the other, you'll walk away from this job. Let it be on your own terms. Your first year has not been great. In the second year, let people begin to see evidence of your control over the team. I'm not saying that go and talk to people anyhow, but he needs to communicate in clear and no uncertain terms with respect and in a very tactful manner his opposition to this whole charade around the team. I say tactful and respectful because these politicians are also important to the team. So you do not want to alienate yourself by coming across as someone who does not respect the value that they can bring. But as far as his training program and his team management is concerned, they are not necessary. In 2001, Sir Cecil Jones Atukofio, he sacked the late E.T. Mensah from the Black Stars dressing room because we had started the same thing and now taken it to the point where a minister would walk into the Black Stars dressing room and he had to sack him. We have now moved from the point where before matches, we take the team to go and meet the president to the point where in that four-day training session, we have put the entire government machinery, including the opposition, made significant adjustment to every single training. Where else is this done? To the extent that the pitch that has been prepared.
Member on the select committee.
What is your business on the pitch?
On the pitch.
What is? And all of them were working on the pitch. Everywhere else, when these people travel, they will respect the protocol in managing some of these things. How?
Did you see that there were also pastors praying on the pitch last night?
We saw that. Look, that has to.
I don't want us to dwell too much on that. Thank you very much. This time, you are done. Okay? You are done. Let's focus on how we can get 3 points in this match. How we can win. And there are a lot of things that we picked up from training. Listen, I understand that all these other issues are important. And, you know, all these other conversations around the team, they're important because there are things that have been spoken against. Even the Jemefa Commission meeting, they spoke about the number of people around the national team. They said there were too many.
Just yesterday, someone raised a concern about how many plenty people have come to the team. Just yesterday.
Yeah, so you know, so it's an ongoing conversation. I don't want people to think that we are being overly critical or overly negative, but these things serve as distractions. And when you speak to the players, they don't like these things. And they all contribute to the lack of focus because there is a focus on way too many things other than what is really important. So it's a vital issue that you is making. You know, so just so that we make that clarity before somebody starts to say on a day of a game, you guys are being too negative. It's important to listen, we have we opened camp on Monday. There are already some existing issues and that the FA must also watch because all those things contribute to the success or otherwise of the team. Listen, guys, Madagascar, who are top of our group, they played yesterday, Wednesday, and then they played in Morocco because Madagascar themselves were banned from playing matches. In fact, who did they play?
They played Comoros. Was it Comoros?
They played Comoros.
Central
African Republic were banned from playing matches at home. They chose Morocco. That went in favor of Madagascar. Because Madagascar, who have been banned also from playing at home, have decided that they will play against Ghana in Morocco. So they have been in Morocco since Monday. And they discovered that against Central African Republic, they don't need 5 days or 4 days to prepare for them.
No.
They start camp Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We are ready to play against Central African Republic. They play against them and they beat them comfortably. We are playing at home.
We have to fly.
Hold on. We've known that we will play this match at home for the past 6 months.
Friday night.
We have known that we played our first game against Chad at home. for 6 months, we knew that between Monday when we opened camp and Friday when we played that game on Friday, we know that within that period, we could have fixed that game on any of those days.
Did you say 6 months? It's more. Remember the time when we were submitting for commentary and all that? This was somewhere August. It's more than 6 months.
In fact, it's been more. In fact, the day the draw was made, we knew we were going to play Chad at home at this time.
Yes.
So, exactly. Thank you. But we decided that for the game against Chad, and this is the window that CAF and FIFA gave for us to play the first game, between Monday and Friday, between 17th and 21st. From 22nd to 25th is the second window for the second matches. There are teams that will be playing their second games tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We waited and put our match on the last day of that particular 17th to 21st window.
At the last possible time.
With late kickoff, thank you. Now, this is my opinion. Did we really need 5 days or 4 days? Let me put it that way. Did we need Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to prepare for the game against Chad, who have 0 points, the weakest team in the group? Did we need 4 days for that? And then decide that we would allocate only 1 day of preparation to prepare for the game against Madagascar on Monday. The toughest team, arguably, in the group. Top of the group. A team that has been in Morocco all this while. We've waited and fixed this game on Friday night. They will finish. Then they'll fly out 4 a.m. to get to Morocco Saturday. Then they will only do recovery training on Saturday in Morocco. And the only day they have to do proper training would be Sunday
night.
Sunday night. At the time of the kickoff of the game, 7 p.m., then we go and play Madagascar, who have been in Morocco since Monday and would have rested Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Then we even played earlier and we have 24 hours of rest more than us.
That's what I just said. Yeah, they played yesterday, so they will have Thursday.
Hours, yeah.
Friday.
They didn't play yesterday.
They didn't play. They play Wednesday.
They play Wednesday.
Yes.
They actually have 48 hours of rest, more than us.
So I'm saying that.
Wow. Travel recovery time, that's 3 days.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm telling you, and they don't have to travel. They played on Wednesday. They stayed there Wednesday. Okay. Wow. They had Thursday to prepare for Ghana. They had Friday to prepare for Ghana. They had Saturday to prepare for Ghana. They have Sunday to prepare for Ghana. So they allocated 4 days of preparation for the Ghana game. We are located just one. And we are flying on top of that. So who makes these decisions? We have not. So you see, when we comment on these issues, it's because we have not given ourselves the best possible preparations to tackle this particular game. And you see, I may not necessarily be blaming the GFA. You know why? And that's why I started by saying that we've known that we will play this game for the longest time. Possibly one of the reasons we couldn't have fixed that game for Wednesday or even Thursday is because the stadium was not ready.
Yep.
So you can't even blame the GFA for this. The stadium was not ready. On Thursday night, on Wednesday, look, the new NSA boss only came into office, what?
Last week.
Last week. But the sports minister has been in office for more than a month. So what kind of preparations were they doing at the stadium? So much so that on Wednesday night, there were people working at the stadium, welding. And then the NSA boss had the audacity or the temerity to tell us that, oh, this is a signal, this is a show of the 24 hours working because the people are working in shifts. On Wednesday night, when the players are training, you are still working on the stadium. We are not the serious people. Oh.
They are inside the stadium and they are hearing, chee-chee, people.
Then he's proud to tell us that is the 24-hour economy working.
We are serious. The people running your country are the ones who are not serious.
Have you seen the issues that I have laid out?
Yeah.
Now we will go on Monday, and if Madagascar are outrunning us, then we will turn around and insult the player and say, well, they are not run. Did you see Madagascar on Wednesday?
Have you ever seen them play? That's the question.
Thank you very
it's
much.
Different from...
And we know this. We know that between these two matches, they would be our toughest opponent. Why didn't we give ourselves the best possible chance, the best possible scenario, best possible preparations, best possible rest?
And you know the funny thing? Since November, the last time we played, the Accra Sports Stadium has not been in use. They don't use it for anything. You say only blasters.
So, thank you. So it's been free.
What have you been doing?
Okay. So no, there were lots of complexities. One, the people.
I hear complexities, I hear excuses.
Yes, it's an excuse because the people at the NSA, following the elections of 2024, those people who were there were no longer signatories and could not release money for anything to be done at the NSA to maintain any other facilities. So clearly, it is an excuse that I can give to them.
You see, Fence, it's the sort of thing you say if you have an institution that does not plan ahead to cover circumstances that they are already aware of.
Yeah.
We know of our election calendar. Mm-hmm. We know that immediately after December 8th, there's going to be a directive that all procurement, all government businesses that require fresh engagement and commitment of funds has to change. If you know this, and you know that there are situations like stadium management mm-hmm. and things that will incur costs, any right-thinking, forward-thinking entity, what they will do mm-hmm. is that they will secure the funds ahead of time, engage people to cover the period where their hands are tied by the constitution mm-hmm. or by convention, so that our preparation for the tournament itself does not suffer, or for the game itself does not suffer. In any event, when was Mr. Kofi Adams?
So I don't know if I say this, it will be
he
something.
He has been on a. You see, this is why the other time I was.
So I'm going. No, actually, hang on.
I'm talking about the fact that.
Just give me a minute.
Hold on, Sitcho is here.
I just want to give actually some few seconds. Some people, some staff of the NSA.
Why are you giving him a few seconds? He has finished talking.
He said he wants to give you small nuggets. Some staff of the NSA went to the minister and told him that, unfortunately, since the elections, we are not in a position to use money to be able to do anything at the stadium. He told them to go and find a way of fixing it.
Okay.
So that's on him.
Okay. You know what? So these are the issues. Sitcho, welcome.
This is the night we're talking about. I will even say 24-hour economy, NSA. Anyway. No, but truth of the matter is, when you run a country like we run ours, and we centralize things like we do, I personally don't think I can blame anybody for the fact that the stadium wasn't ready for the game. Because until the finance minister read his budget and until he had disbursed money for sectors to work, what money was NSA or the sports ministry going to use?
But government was functioning
in different capacities. But sectors or ministries were not functioning in the capacity of using a certain level of money.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to be honest.
Yeah.
Until because there are people who are working, contractors and co, who have not been paid, because if you go, they will tell you that they've not released funds. And it is true.
No, currently no sector can spend up to 100,000.
Hang on. So that's the lacuna in our system.
Hey,
it's a problem for everybody, right? And that is why we are suffering this.
The reason I'm saying this is
if the stadium was in order,
when it comes to blasters, yes. I have seen us go over and beyond to spend money, find money. In fact, this government was the one that put 3 million in a plane and flew to Brazil. When it's become necessary, we have found the money.
All of that have come under a government running after perhaps he has presented his budget. He has said this amount of money they want to spend. What I'm saying is, until the finance minister read budget, no ministry was really spending. It's a fact.
I have a question for you.
My question is,
if the budget wasn't read 2 weeks ago and it was read this week, we would have no stadium.
We would have been in problems. We would have been in massive problems. And that's a fact. Let's not take that for granted.
We would have no stadium.
We would have been in a massive
problem. We would not have played at home.
Possibly.
Don't
take it for granted. Possibly.
My question is this. In non-election years,
yes,
government's machinery and government's business does not stop in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
In non-election years,
yes,
the timetable for the finance minister's budget reading also does not shift.
Yes.
So you know that whatever planning, resource allocation that you're doing, you have to do it to cover the period of November, December through January until the final. No, all of these state agencies, in this case, the NSA.
Yeah, that happens in the transition period.
Yeah, and my question to you is that if you are able to do that in non-election years, you are able to have that plan, because then there is no excuse of finance minister or the new finance minister hasn't gone to.
But wait, the non-election.
Let me finish the question. Let me finish.
Wait. No. The non-election year.
Yeah.
The next year that follows is normally the very same government.
Yes, that's why so I'm saying
have,
that
they have their continuation.
Mm-hmm.
In an election year where there's a change in power, the way the country spends even changes.
Yeah, but the question I'm asking you is that, Sisho, in non-election year, unless there is a supplementary budget, and the supplementary budget usually will come between July and August.
Yeah, mid-year.
So you are not going to have anything from the November period that we've seen until now.
Yes.
My question is that in non-election year, they are able to plan for the period when there is no intervention from the finance ministry. What is different about the election year?
This is very different. The election year is change of government. The new government has its own way of spending, blah, blah, blah. I'm not making an excuse for...
Yeah, but how does that stop you from planning?
You know what I'm saying?
You can't make an excuse and then say you are not making an excuse.
It's not an excuse. It's a
no,
fact.
No. Fence. He mentioned something that was very critical.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a fact.
Including even employment of people. Remember, the transition team actually said that they should freeze employment of people.
Yes.
Within that time.
Again, so, what has that got to do
with the fact? No, so the only area, my only area of dissonance from Sicho is the fact that this is a sector that has got its own money in its own account and should be able to use its money to maintain the facility.
The
800,000 they took from the e-ticketing people, what did they use it for? If that money has disappeared,
800,000 were Ghana
CDs. Yes, if that money disappears, they should go and collect it.
Okay,
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, guys. Bottom line is that, you know, and that's the point, because even before the new government came, the stadium hadn't been in use for 2 months. So the point we are, because the last time we played was in November, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so it's not even like, you know, the things they are fixing, welding, and nobody has used the stadium in 4 months. The thing they are welding, it didn't just spoil in the last 2 months or 3 months.
No, but it got worse. Are you aware they are closing down some stands? Which they didn't close a couple of months ago. Because at 2 months ago, it wasn't as bad as it is now.
You see,
that stadium needs to be shut down, brought down, and rebuilt. That piece they are doing, we'll do it every day.
Yes.
Proper shutdown.
It has to be back. And then you.
And then.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I mean, yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Jordan Ayew did an exclusive interview with Danny Kiri. He said quite a few things. Yeah. First off, he spoke about the team that Ghana has at the moment. He said it's a team in transition and people need to be patient.
We're in a period of transition, I think, since 2020. And obviously the manager came in auto and had different ideas. And so it takes time. It takes time and it takes time, of course. A lot of changes, like in terms of personnel, players. You know, at some point, we were like having maybe 10, 11, 12 new players at different stages of the call-up, different call-ups. So, you know, it demands time. It demands, you know, patience. For me, I just think that it's just a time where we're struggling a bit, but we have the quality, we have the players to turn it around, you know.
All right, so that's Jordan Ayew. He also said that you know, there is new hope, and you know, and that we need to give this team time, give the team the confidence to perform, and he's hopeful that we can get all the 3 points against Chad and then boost our World Cup qualifying campaign.
You know, it's time. It's a period of transition. You need to be a bit patient and support us and be positive. We know we can be frustrating at times. We know it.
Yeah.
We know it can be frustrating because I know how passionate Ghanaians are. But I'm pleading with them. You know, they need to be a bit patient and support their boys because without them, we can't perform, you know. So for me, I just think it's just a matter of time and patience, but we'll come good.
All right, so we'll come good. Jordan, you be patient with the team. He also spoke about how he got the captaincy and what he's been doing and what he hopes to do with that big batch of responsibility.
You know, it just happened naturally, I think. And, you know, I'm honored, I'm proud, you know. But as well, it demands a lot of work and, you know, a lot of responsibilities. But, you know, I've been with the best. So I've learned from the best, whether it's Lasamoa, whether it's Andre, you know, I've learned from them. And, you know, I'll try and pick up things from their qualities. And obviously for me, you know, to be myself, because when I'm myself, I'm at my best. When I'm not myself, then I become a bit unproductive. So, you know, I just take it calmly and, you know, stay positive.
So that's Jordan Ayew. He needs to be himself to be at his best. So when he's happy, he's performing well. When people make him sad, he becomes unproductive, is what he says. Otuado also addressed the press yesterday ahead of the game. This is what he said.
We're really, really happy for that. Everyone to feel in a good environment, to give their best, and then to win. And I'm very, very sure that we disappoint you. And we've been doing well in the training. They prepared well. I'm very, very happy to have this squad here. The way they train, the way they move together, they stick together, the way they discuss things now. And I'm really, really positive about tomorrow. Thank you once again. Like I said, we don't take it for granted, Sports Minister, that you come in every day to support us, to watch us. Thank you very much, the members of Parliament, and we meet in future and we make you proud.
That's Otuado. He says he's been very happy with the way the players have conducted themselves. He shows that there's a positive spirit. Asamoah Gyan has been around the team as well. He led the Jama session yesterday, so all of it contributing to the positive atmosphere in the team, and it's really important. And he also thanked the media and the supporters for backing him. Otto said a whole lot of things. He also says forgive him for the AFCON debacle. And then back the team. He says he's responsible, and he's very sorry about what happened and what have you. It's really, look, you can find the rest of that Jordan Ayew interview, of course, on Joy News YouTube channel. Danny Kay went to speak to his. As far as amazing things go, this interview was one of those. Danny Kay sitting down across Jordan Ayew. His infatuation with him is well publicized. DK, tell me about the whole. This is an interview that's been long coming. You chased him at AFCON in January last year.
Yeah, in fact, it started in October 2023.
Right.
Yeah. We started October 2023. Then October, November, then the AFCON, the next international.
Tell me about the AFCON story, because there's an interesting story there.
Charlie.
Danny Kay went to Cote d'Ivoire with Jordan Ayew's interview fully booked. And so for him, because he went to...
Yeah, he's telling
me. He's telling the story. And in fact, you also recall that...
I don't recall anything.
You just said no. That's a story.
He also recalled that. No, I also had Jordan Ayew fully booked. I also had Jordan Ayew fully booked, and Ghana drew against Mozambique, and we were knocked out.
You have spoiled the story.
We'll let DK tell his story.
All right. DK.
Charlie.
What happened in Cote d'Ivoire?
No, very interesting thing. So, we had it booked. We had spoken. The thing set. It was just about me coming there, and then we'll do it. And it was before the game against Mozambique. In fact, we wanted to do it before the first game.
Right.
Then Cape Verde happened, we lost, and then some way. So after the Egypt
game,
after the Egypt game, like the mood in camp was good. So they said, Charlie, is he good? Yeah, he good. Duam, we are Ghana. So Mozambique 2-0 up. In fact, Charlie, like my guess, because I know it's done. Like Charlie, once we qualify, I'm going there in a few days. The thing set, sit down, everything. Then I left the newsroom. I reached the studio 2-2. The 2-2 cast, that's it. It means everything. The interview to cast, because the guy don't talk to anybody. He make bass away, Charlie. He's not talking to anybody. Then I arrived there the day Ghana is leaving. So the day the Black Stars were leaving Cote d'Ivoire was the day I got into
Abidjan.
Abidjan. Charlie, I watched the rest of the competition without the Stars. Then we continue pushing. There were times, in fact, if you remember the Central African Republic Mali game when we went to Kumasi, the morning we touched down in Accra, that's when we got approval that we should come to the team hotel. But we had just reached the airport in Accra. So that one to Ikast. Then we said next time. So I remember I was chatting with my wife and she was like, see, the thing is, it will happen. So like, I shouldn't worry, but it will happen. And so when we got the approval Wednesday, it just hit me that, see, God's timing is the best. Because
a very supportive wife.
We've done the thing. If I had got him last year, yes, but he wasn't captain.
Right.
Like, there's some weight.
Right. He wasn't captain. Right.
He hardly speaks to anybody. He hardly opens up the way he did. And then he's announced as captain. 3 days later, he sits down for the first time. And that is when the thing has been approved. So it just worked out perfectly. It just worked out perfectly, obviously.
And it was a beautiful chat. You know, I remember there's a conversation that Henry had with me after they got kicked out at the AFCON, and because he had booked the interview, you had booked the interview and everything. And then Henry said, you know, what Jordan, did he tell you what Jordan said after Ghana got kicked out and everybody was sad? I don't know if he told you, but he told me. He said Jordan came to his room and then he jokingly said, ah, the interview, what's up? We're not going to do the interview.
So, I think that was rather by the one I was going to have with him.
Okay.
That was rather by.
Anyway. But yeah, listen, so talk me through it. I mean, he said a lot of things, but from the conversation, what do you pick up about? One thing I picked out is that I feel like he's definitely become a leader. He's, but what else have you picked up from the way you spoke to him and all of the conversation you had?
Look, I think I very, very interesting. First of all, I don't think I've heard him speak like that before.
No, me neither.
In fact, before we sat down, you could tell he was in a very good mood. Like, we were chatting and things, you could tell he was in a good mood. The first question I asked him about the captaincy, he went on and on and on. There was a portion it looked like he was going to stop, and then he kept going on and on. So I got this instinct that, okay, he's in a mood to talk. So then, lead him and allow him to express himself. And that was basically how the interview went. I ask one question, he goes on and on and on. He's giving examples of examples. He's going on and on.
You mean he was achuing?
He was achuing like Ina. The guy know the land. Like the guy.
So achuing know the land of
you. You don't know this.
Why? This is the question you ask. Like, he's going on and on. And it was really interesting. Look, his intelligence when it comes to the game, you can tell he really understands football, and it's not just football on the pitch. He understands what it means to do football. Something Sijo has been saying, how to do football. Mm. We just play it over here. But when it comes to the administration aspect, the impact on administration on the pitch, you can tell he has a very good idea and he understands it.
And that's awareness of the situation.
Of the situation is clearly on top. When he spoke about, there were so many subliminals in the thing. I was telling that you today.
Yeah.
Like, he dropped a lot of subliminals. You can tell he knows the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the problems. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's something he mentioned to me. He said it was two things in one. If we wanted immediate success, then we should have done a proper transition. Mm-hmm. And then he gave examples of how we did the transition in 2010 from the 2006 World Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically referred to this current transition as radical.
Mm-hmm.
He says you just phased out the old guys, brought in new guys, and you expect it to work. That is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that if we've accepted that this is how we want to do our transition, then we also need to accept that this is a transitional period and it will take time.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives the example of Man City, how they've won and won and won and they've reached the roadblock. He says sometimes these things, like, he spoke so much, and It's very interesting how sometimes we sit here, we go on and on, we criticize the players, but you can tell that sometimes it's unfair because they are sitting there and he said his job is to play.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he understands what is happening, even if he knows what the issue is, his job is to play.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be given excuses, and everything you see he'll end it by, it is not an excuse, because at the end of the day, they are being paid to play. So they have to come and play.
Yeah.
And they are playing, they also have to give the results. But his maturity is something that really impressed me. It's a completely different person. I saw a more human side of him. You see him, he's always with his headphones in there, Charlie. Like, Jonah doesn't talk. When you talk to the other players, they say he's very quiet. But it was a very different side of him. Very expressive, willing to open up. And it was on different subjects. In fact, the one we've aired, we've not talked about his Premier League career. We've not talked about his personal life. But it was a very interesting, and I think,
actually, the interview is airing right now as well.
Oh, solid.
On Joy News.
On Joy News, yeah.
But after that,
so people should stop listening to your show to go and watch the interview.
I'm just telling them, I'm giving the option. Join sports.
So, giving them the option to leave the show.
Yes.
And go and watch the interview.
I don't mind.
Okay, cool.
Then. They will still be seeing Kranti there.
But whatever conversation Daniel had with him was before the interview was a masterstroke, because, look, I've never seen Jordan like that.
This is the most open I've seen him.
And the most expressive, because he was comfortable to talk about topics that in the past, if you meet him in a mix zone, he perhaps will shy away from.
Mm-hmm.
He was comfortable to, so you spoke about the captains a bit. He was not afraid to talk about the transitions. And he mentioned the radical nature of, in fact, there was a point where he mentioned what there has been times we introduced 12 new players into the team at a go.
Yeah.
And it just gave us an insight into the mind of someone who sees everything that we see, but perhaps experiences it on a much broader scale, because he is in the team. His performances will suffer if the transition doesn't go right. His performances will suffer if the culture around the national team is not great. And Charlie, you do the job.
So fantastic. Look, you can find that interview all across our socials as well. So well done, Danny K. So now I left Achu. Achu, what interview are you giving me?
If you're here, you can't give assignments.
On the spot like that.
If you're here, you can't give assignments.
Come on for that. Welcome to the show.
But Jonah's interview. You're welcome, you. If I talk, you insult me, so you continue. Finish.
Hey, Boab, yeah, we are now that the heat is about to begin.
Jordan's interview. Uh-huh.
Go on.
Made me feel like truly, we are not just talking. The thing, check like we know small.
The job,
Because the thing Jordan they talk, check like we talk some.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Made me feel like they're upon the thing we know. So today as I was coming, they are just the full big boy, you like know, damn.
We spoke
man.
About the transition.
The things where the right? boy they talk, we cook them already.
Yeah.
It's either you took a pop from we.
Yes.
Or that shouldn't be the
no,
fact.
No, they know.
But the gig be say. The gig be say, if you are doing an interview with somebody who they make you feel like the person be star boy, where the person get some steeze.
Yes.
Into the gives you the opportunity to come out and deliver.
Yes.
So the way he was talking was like boy. So
yes.
What I like about you, you know.
Uh-huh.
If it was Jordan's other brother, my man,
mm-hmm.
Andre, the way Andre will be
Kapi,
and Andre, the way we, but Jordan came down to boys level,
yeah,
you know, and made the interview very lively, and but all of that is credit to.
It's the atmosphere he created. He made it very lively.
But you where they say, we not be done the country.
Ha! That one don't go there, my brother.
Is that you do what? All right, guys, let me tell you briefly about Betway, one of our sponsors on the show. If you're ready to get way more chances to win with Betway every single day, you now have the key to unlock 5 free spins on the Mega Money wheel, where you stand to win a massive 1 million Ghana City jackpot. So what are you waiting for? You can log into betway.com.gh today and take your spin, all thanks to Betway. Terms and conditions, of course, apply as always. The show is also proudly sponsored by Petrosol. And Petrosol, of course, we have amazing deals for you. But more importantly, if you want to fill your tank and have your dreams energized, then look no further. Drive straight to Petrosol now. We are celebrating 10 years of excellence. Petrosol is a national best quality awards winner. We're rewarding you with the Energizing Dreams promo. There are 3 draws down, 3 more to go. We are sharing tricycles, motorbikes, TV sets, refrigerators, and even fuel coupons. But the best part is, that there are two brand new Suzuki Espressos that are waiting for two lucky winners. So rush now to your nearest petrol fuel station, fill your tank with quality fuel in full quantity, and enter the draw. And this is your chance to win big. Promo is ending on the 31st of March. Petrosol, of course, energizing dreams. And also, our Volta adventure is completely sold out. So that is the best part. Okay. That is the best part as far as that's concerned. You know, to all of you, one day you put yourself in big, big trouble. Okay. One day you put yourselves in big trouble. Of course. Boy, Pia, you are on radio. Okay. Behave. You just walked in, start talking. Nobody has given you the microphone and you are chatting. The mic is in front of you and you are chatting. I didn't kill him before he started chatting. You understand? All right, good. Let's talk about the game. Okay, because that's where the attention is on. Sicho, let me begin with you then.
Quick.
What are you looking forward to seeing? What can we do? This team, when the squad came out, there were some concerns here and there about, for example, there are three center backs, there are only three central midfielders. How does Otto do a very good combination, especially knowing that you need 3 points from this and 3 points from the other game? Does he approach this full force? How do you manage the squad to maximize the squad?
Gonna be sound.
What do you mean?
It's charred.
What do you mean?
It's charred. Like,
I can't charge some respect.
No, hang on. It is. Look.
No, they have 0 points. There's no respect.
It's not disrespectful. It's like Spain is going to play against San Marino. Right. That is it, like, in African context.
And guess what? They named every single player from Chad.
Yep.
They were struggling to even put together a team.
Yep.
And every player on the squad plays in Chad.
Chad, yes. Yes. Yes.
They have 0 points, by the way, from 4 matches. So it's not like there is respect there to be given. There's none. They have won 3 matches in 6 years.
Yeah.
You top how many points for your AFCON qualifying?
Charlie.
That's Pepe.
Charlie, when I was going to get married, my counselor, Oda Mark, he's listening. Oda Mark, good afternoon to you. And then greet to your wife, Oma, for me. But let me.
I beg. How does this relate? What you were going
he's
to get married?
He's a shout he's giving.
I'm giving my shout out. Why? Maybe I get the mic.
All right, Sicho, go ahead.
It's radio, so far. Charlie, if you're listening to me, text me. If you have a lot, text me, I'll give you a shout. Forget with that. Look, but on a more serious note, friends.
Yes.
I think my problem going into this game is, if Ghana was playing well and we were confident, we would have picked, you know, a second fiddle team for this game against Chad, because it's in Ghana. We are overwhelming favorites. Then we can manage the squad for the tougher one against Madagascar, because the turnaround time, and I was listening to you guys earlier, the turnaround time for that game is tough. Yeah. So you'd have thought you are resting the Thomas Partey's, you know, some of your key players, you want to keep them fresh for that trip. But unfortunately for Otto, he can't take those chances. Mm-hmm. Because the team in the Navy Force. So he has to play his best squad in this game, and then also repeat, if you like, a lot of those players in the second game. Mm-hmm. What can help Otto is, and I'm thinking it's better to the boys, would be get a very good start. If the game is over by the end of first half, then he can take out some of his key players and give a look into some of the other players who are in the team. Mm-hmm. Because it is, like I said, it is Chad, it's in Ghana. The odds are very much in favor of Ghana. You want to do this quickly and then focus on the next one. Now, there's a problem as well that comes with this. Because we've not played well for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
At the start of the game, the fans are going to be shouting, they're going to be screaming, they're going to be backing the team. If the team doesn't start well, and if the team isn't playing well up until somewhere around the 20th minute, the fans will turn.
I think 20 minutes is a bit too early. Maybe after halftime.
Look, if they start, they are not creating chances. Kudustria enko, pate pasia enfa. Inyaki, Inyami, you know, say no. All happens in the first 10 minutes. By 20th minute, every misplaced pass, it will remind the fans of what happened to us against Sudan, against Niger.
Right.
And so they need to start the game well, and then get the fans to back them. Look, the Ghanaian football fan culture, it's not like elsewhere where even if you're losing 5 goals, they won't do that. Ghana, we don't do that.
Right.
Let's not lie to ourselves. Ghana here, it is, we support you when you are playing well. And if you're not playing well, we will let you know before the game ends. So they need to avoid that. And that is why I think Otto's team needs to start well. Look, after the team is called, there are a certain level of imbalances across the 23. But he probably has, he has about 15 players
that are core.
Like 15, 16 players that are core that can make significant impact in the team. I'm expecting that Ghana wins today against Chad. Chad, my worry would be if they would have to dig in too deep to win the game, because that would stretch them. And then going into the game against Madagascar, that could be, that could come in costly. If they do the business early in that first half, and then we take off some of our key players, then we can go into that Madagascar game fresher.
Ebwapia, welcome to the show once again. You've already
please also, my big brother Fifi Taki is also doing the listening. So Fifi, thank you for the Jordan thing, and wait, thank you for listening, and you are the man. Please, any more anyone listening, please text me if you are listening.
Fifi said you should give him shouts.
Fifi texted me that, okay, I'm also listening. And I said, okay. So right now, anybody who texts me, I'll give.
He said, give me fans.
He said, give me fans.
Okay. So
yeah.
Why? What did you say? He said, Fifi, what?
He said,
what did you say? The fans you gave him. What did you say?
I said, Fifi, thank you for the Jordan thing.
Uh-huh. You are the man.
You're the man.
Fifi, if you are the man, give me Andre. You don't give me Andre, you are not the man.
You want Andre, all right? I want their father.
So I'll be the ticket. You go share like 8 pay.
Go share. It be popular stand safe. The VIP finish.
And you share like 8. They make 11 to make a take juice on.
You, this guy is negotiating with me on radio. What up here? Charlie, what's happening? You. The former sports minister is looking for you. What up here? You went on another radio station and you said all kinds of things against
that
him.
He's the most incompetent minister ever.
He said that he should be rotting in jail. You, Ebo. Ebo Apia.
Good afternoon to you all. Listeners and viewers.
Mustapha Yusif is looking for you.
I think you were not charitable to me, because it was Sicho who came to say hello, and then I had to respond. Before.
And then when you.
In trying to respond to the greeting.
And the teacher caught you.
Then this teacher began to. So this is one teacher. I want teacher power. No, correct, crap. Somebody is sitting there thinking that I had to respond to the greetings.
Oh God!
But
yes, Ebo.
Before I start, I came here with two. First, I wanted to talk about this team, but then when I saw Danny K's interview this morning, I had to apologize to Danny K before that. Look, I should have called him first, because I called Fifi, actually, to congratulate Fifi, because if you look at the interview Danny K did, yeah, he brought us a part of Jordan that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think as a nation, we have not been fair to him. Because if you listen to him, he's completely different from any kind of captain we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
His demeanor and the way it's like, he has not fought for the thing, but the thing has come to him.
Yeah.
And the intelligent responses to Danny K's questions. Some other player would have reacted in a very, very different way. I've been in this business for 25 years, mm-hmm, and I would have told you that the questions Danny K put to him, it is because how Jordan responded. That's how come the conversation went,
yeah,
the way it went.
They were not comfortable questions.
Not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a credit to Danny K.
I'm very proud of him.
I think he also I think he also knew that. Charlie,
it is on TV now. Where,
yeah, he also knew that, Charlie, if I don't go in a particular way, fire will meet fire.
Yeah.
So he hits the question, but in an entreating way.
Yeah.
It's like he's not forcing him, mm-mm, but he's asking him the questions that everybody wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give Jordan the credit.
Yeah.
And said,
Muma Danny K fan.
Every question in a matured way.
He's matured so much.
Very matured.
Yeah.
No, Danny K says that he's left with who? Who and who?
Djokovic and Ronaldo.
No, they don't reach. After Jordan Forita, they
don't
reach.
No. I think that the people of Ghana will begin to see. If Fifi is also listening, like you said, it means that they shouldn't hide him as often as they can. Yeah. They should let him express himself. He's completely different from his father. Very different from Dede.
My man, Tafito Andre.
And
no, he's not political with his answers.
No,
right? Yeah. He's honest.
Very
with his
honest.
Answers.
And I,
Andre
I
is
touched.
Very political sometimes.
Yes, I was
and
touched.
I understand that because
Andre be
and you see what he said.
Exactly.
He said
like,
he
you
loves
know, sometimes
his brother.
It's not everything you can say, but Jordan is very open, very
he said,
honest.
He says he loves his brother, but I was at the stadium on Wednesday and I saw how he related to Asamoah. So you can see that Jordan is becoming like a deal broker.
No, he's even said that when he asked him about the friction in Camp the division, he says the truth is that they are not friends.
Yeah.
And
yes,
he says they cannot all be friends.
You don't need.
Is it,
he said, but
Fent,
we have
why,
a job to
Fent,
do.
That's why I said that every answer he gave for me was top.
Yeah.
Danny didn't say.
And I could have lied and said that, oh, we are friends. We are. No. He says that's. And
that brings me to why before I come to the match, this generation of sports journalists we have. You and where I was.
Yeah.
You there's a standard you have set. And I am here not to warn you, but to entreat you that it will be so wrong that you bring the standard down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it for granted.
You have seen generations.
I have seen different generations.
So you mean this generation we spoil there?
No, you don't spoil there. You have raised the bar.
That's what he means.
Yes. Oh, not a Gen Z.
He has shown his age.
I am not. I'm over 50 years.
You have shown your age.
So we spoiled it. That's what you're saying.
I mean, that's your generation.
No, when he says that they've spoiled it, it means that they've done exactly what you are saying.
Is that a great job?
But my only problem is that the level went so low that once you guys have picked up, where I was also has picked up, I beg you people, and I'm entreating you, but we didn't do it, but you must do it. Bring the people behind you. Because
oh, like Kareem and you are bringing them. Kareem and Cody are
sometimes, you hear a radio sports news being read in Ghana. It's as if it's a radio football commentary. And then after they give the news, then they play an insert. Then the insert is a very calm insert. So you're asking yourself, as in what would
so I'm with them on that.
But I know exactly what you mean.
You see, no, it's dear to me.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
failed in my generation.
I don't think you did.
Yes, but I mean, let's give.
You don't be harsh on yourself.
That's fine. Let's give.
The guy that give me fans, he wants.
Abo and Nko, we all used to listen
to
them.
No, but you see, what's
it's not only him.
No, I said Abo and Nko.
The class of Abo.
Fent. What we did, where some of us could do sack Flavi and Flavi was sacked, cannot be done in this generation.
Yeah. Hey, that Flavi cool, eh?
That's a different...
That again, you probably are not familiar with that story. They are too young.
But you, pa.
This is a different generation.
Hey, Gary has made a boy appear and...
Oh, a boy is talking and you are interrupting. What's that? Please continue.
You see,
Danike doesn't want to.
So when I sit down, sometimes I follow you on your different podcasts.
Yeah.
I watch everything you people do. And I called one of you and I asked, guys, when something is happening, do you really go on Twitter and say, Charlie, make we all fire the thing? And I was told that's not the case. Each of you is independent-minded. And when the issue comes, you deal with it as it is. Please do not draw the standard down. Maintain this standard of integrity. And I'm looking forward to the day when we have people from here, CBS, CBC, different international network picking you people. And that will be the joy for some of us.
Now, let me give you some apple. So yesterday, some guy from here,
yeah,
after the IOC thing, BBC.
Yeah.
Like IOC, like it's not Africa something, like IOC.
IOC.
Thank you.
The IOC elections.
Thank you very much.
International Olympic Committee.
International.
Yeah.
So after the election, they had to call somebody, an expert, to delve into the matter, look at all the politics, and then they picked their phone and some messed out. A number called Fentu. Can you imagine?
No,
I don't see we're looking for somebody.
No,
Fentu, stop.
No. I think I made it's an omission. I said it at another station,
yeah,
but I didn't say it here because he became an Awam teacher. That's why I forgot. He, in particular, has done very, very well.
Two.
He went to the international athletics thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I follow the interviews. I follow everything.
Oh, Fentu.
Olympics.
I can give you every interview
Bahamas.
You made. And he was talking to the, and you see the body language of Fent when he met those top athletes was like, Ali, cool,
composed.
Right at Netflix, cool. AU,
so
sprints.
I'm not talking in vacuum. I am backing what I'm saying with facts.
Yeah.
He, for me, is the best.
Abba! You mean he's your journalist of the year?
No, for me.
You mean he's your journalist of the year?
Let's not go into that.
Evo, let's be calm on the show again.
Relax.
Yesterday.
Guys, relax.
When he posted the BBC. Yes. I think a few weeks prior, I had said that.
Has he during the elections, he did something? Am I lying?
Yeah, I was on the elections, yeah. Gabriel. Yes.
He was.
Yes. I watch all of you. I personally have interest in all of you. I watch everything all of you are doing. And when I sit back, sometimes it tells me that we didn't fight for nothing.
Right.
Because some of us, our lives were at stake.
Right.
Especially during the Chamefe committee
thing.
There was a minister of state who actually is now one of the top people in government who actually wanted to use his car to hit my car.
Wow.
Because I had said something on air that made them sack him. You see, our time was just... what happened with
the way we're sucking people.
You know what happened with the gentleman you mentioned about the former minister It was not even my intention to. He was not part of the conversation. But the reason I got angry is that at the age of 12, I was taken from Ghana to Cuba, and I have seen what infrastructure does to sports development.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Cuba when Ike and the other guy, the other coach, was brought to come and learn boxing. I was there when De La Hoya's father brought him to Cuba to also come and learn boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what infrastructure does.
Yeah.
And everywhere there was, they were not, it's a communist country, but they had infrastructure everywhere where you could play.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm a very good baseball player. I'm not even a football player.
Baseball?
Yes, baseball.
No, baller.
Baller.
Very baseball. Good.
Mm-hmm.
How would I have played baseball? Because wherever I was, the facility was there, so I could play baseball. So when I went into the All-African Games, the first day I went there, I was so angry, and I never entered there. Fento, ask me why.
Why?
Thank you.
The moment I entered, I saw these vans, different vans at Botiman, parked. And it's in my mind, I was trained in Cuba, such that your country first. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything else. Until 20 years, I didn't know who was a Ghana and a Fanti. Because all that we were there were Ghanaians. Mm-hmm. It's only when I came down, then I realized, this person is Ghana. I didn't know. That's how naive I was. So when I entered to Botiman and I saw the vans, I was like, what's happening? So I went into each van.
Wow.
And I saw the GBC staff in each van.
Mm-hmm.
Then I began to get angry. Because I asked them, what are you people doing here? So we don't know. We were brought to come. I said, is it for GBC? They said, no. So how are you being paid? Then they mentioned. See, once you were doing your work, that's what I was doing.
Mm.
I had a different interest. So that's how I began to get angry in me and ask myself questions. Why would you do this to our country? Then I came to you at Legon.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Then I realized that the French that had been brought in were being paid proper money than French and Co. who were doing the job. And at the same time, the proper job were being done by us. So I said, this is for me. That was the end. And I never stepped there again.
Wow.
That is me. Wow. My country comes first. So that's why the guy's name was mentioned. I was so mad because, honestly, that 15 million, I, Ebo, can take 5 million and put it on a competitive bidding in Accra. And ask whether we will not have the likes of Champion Restaurant and other people who will bid and say, this 5 million will do it. And friends, you know what the funny thing? Of the 50 million, chunk of this was used to buy those coolers and heaters and things like.
You see, Ebo, you've even gone far. Let me help you. You see, there's a Blasters game coming. So I really want us to get back on track.
So that,
because this issue of the Africa Games, if you look at the recent article that the Fourth Estate published, okay, and you look at some of the details that have emerged from that particular, you notice that the UPSA, they made a comparison that UPSA built a hostel from scratch and spent 40 million.
That's what they said.
Yes.
Cities or dollars?
But do you know what gets me?
Dollars. They're actually 13 point something million dollars. A hostel from scratch that could accommodate as many as the diaspora halls. And they spent 13 million. And you said you've used 16 million to go and do renovation.
Okay.
So not even renovation. Go and buy air conditioners and
Do you know what pains me? Echo Bank building in Accra. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
It's the most iconic building.
The headquarters?
Yes. It's $50 million.
50?
Yes. So when you see things like that, you say, that's what I said, Obi Obam, Oman Buffo, like the person is a nation wrecker. Let's leave it.
Talk to me about the game.
Yes, the game. That's why I'm here.
Yes, talk to me about the game.
Another time we'll see.
I know. Next week, come back.
No, Allah.
I know you didn't try.
Talk to me about the
you
game.
You see, when it comes to this game, I'm here to beg all of you. And the reason I'm here to beg you is that when we went to the AFCON and came, there was a problem. Two wrongs don't make right. It was wrong for those who didn't prevent the journalists to interview the boys and see. And was equally wrong for our colleagues to behave the way they did. Now, we took it for granted in trying to solve that matter. We didn't solve it, and we went into the qualifiers. What happened?
Problems.
The last one at the Accra Sports
Stadium. Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, no, Ebo, you can't continue sitting at the fences. There's a constituency I can speak to. That is you people. Yeah. Please, let's drop our differences. Because we are not going to the AFCON. If we don't go to the World Cup, it means that as a nation, for the next 12 to 24 months, we are out.
Mm-hmm.
It will affect this station. It will affect me. It will affect everybody. And I was on a sister radio station when I said, if we don't go to the World Cup, what will happen? Hey, event.
People will die.
Somebody texted and said, Chale, I even went ahead. I was trying to scare them and say that, Trump is deporting people. Do you know what the guy said?
Mm-hmm.
Even if he goes and they deport him, mm-hmm. he likes.
Wakobi.
Then I said, Ebo, you must care. Because you can go. So you think that everybody can go.
Yeah.
Let's care. You see, leadership is about caring. Let's care for people. I beg you people, but I really want to beg you people.
Because we are all behind.
Yes, if we don't put our ceasefire now, and we want to punch, there are so many things we can punch. But you see, when you don't close this door, you cannot open a new door.
Yes.
You must close one door. Let's rise above. Let's show leadership. Because you see, you and I as Chelsea supporters, you realize that on the third part of the ball, when the players get the ball and they're not shooting, what happens? They shout, shoot.
Yeah, they scream.
We as journalists have a responsibility to begin to change the mindset of the public that do not praise the boys when they're doing keche.
Right.
Don't. You see, our problem is when our off-the-ball attitude is our problem.
Yes.
We don't run. We overstay on the ball. We are for all praise Joachim Löw. And why are we praising Joachim Löw? Because within a split second, the ball moves from the back to the front. That's a German machine.
They don't have.
And Ghana only became a team when we played Jamaica before the 2006 World Cup. And Djokovic told the boys, do not touch the ball more than once. And Capito came from Juventus. And I'm giving you all this assignment. Go back and check his Juventus videos, you realize that because of Del Piero and who were older than him, who could not run, Capello brought him in, and the instructions were that touch and go. Then we made him a captain. So when he came to the Black Stars, he touch and go. How dare you hold the ball?
And we have a problem like that.
When Steven is playing, Sule does not hold on to the ball. It's only when Steven is on the Black Stars that people hold on to the ball. But when Steven is there, he does. You cannot. I met him at a stadium. I said, Capito, Okayo. He just smiled. I said, now that you are there, I'm expecting that discipline. But we as journalists and as fans, we have to educate the fans and tell them that, cheer them on when it's hot.
It's getting hard.
Also cheer them on to shoot, but don't cheer them on when they are doing those catches and things. If we begin to hoot at them for holding on to the ball, they will release the ball. Check Anfield.
Mm.
Check the. I saw you in the Bundesliga. I spoke to one English Ghanaian player. He told me that one of the most intimidating atmospheres he's ever been. It was Andre who told me. It's the Dortmund Stadium. He said, when you enter, the noise.
The yellow wall.
The noise. You see, so it is important that as journalists, mm-hmm. we educate the fans. Do not applaud them when they are holding into the ball. Cheer them on to push the ball. Cheer them on through the difficult period. So that they are on and off the ball. It's more important than on the ball.
Indeed. Ebo, I'll come back to you. Let me go to Danny K now. DK, I mean, you've been on commentary duty tonight. We start our build-up 6 p.m. here on this very network. So you guys are stuck with us for the longest time, all the way till 9 p.m. Sitio is here as well. Achu will be at the stadium as well. So we have it. We have all the grounds covered. DK, what are your thoughts on our preparation so far? And then the game itself and how Otto should approach it. Sitio says it's charred. So it's almost like, why are we stressing? We shouldn't stress, but we are stressing because we shan't. That's what he says.
Yes, it was Sudan, it was Niger,
it was Comoros.
It was Comoros. So, yeah, myself, like, I'm a free small, but I was at the training on Tuesday, and then yesterday. Tuesday, I picked up something very interesting. Now, we spoke about the imbalance and the lack of numbers in central midfield. What I saw on Tuesday was Partey and Kudus playing together as a double pivot, which I think could manifest in the game. Now, there were several scenarios. So Partey and Kudus will partner. Then he will switch out who will play as the number 10. So there was the Lawrence boy.
Yeah.
Ejekun. So Ejekun played there for a while. I think he brought in this kid, you know, who made himself.
Francis Abu.
No, Kudus in Badi.
Come out.
Nyama slotted there a bit. Like they were chopping and changing, but Kudus was with Partey at the base of midfield. And I would not be surprised if that plays out. Because what looked like the main team in those scenarios was Kudus and Partey. Was the forcing guy? Yeah. No, Francis Abu.
Francis Abu.
Yeah. Abu was on the other side, and I think that could also be an option. Maybe Abu could slot in by Partey and then Kudus plays as a number 10. But I was really impressed, especially on Tuesday, the synergy between Semenyo, Jordan, and then Kamal Dean. And it looks like Kamal Dean is an auto favorite. He really likes the guy, and you can tell. The Central African Republic game, he started. I think the Mali game, he also started. And we need to start seeing more regular features in terms of the starting lineup so that the players can build that relationship between themselves.
Otto worked with him at Nonchalant.
Exactly. So it makes sense, and he knows exactly what he can bring. And to be frank, Kamal Dean over the last couple of weeks has looked good. It looks like he's getting back to his best. Obviously, the decision making is still some way, but this is something that I always say that if you don't play, you can't improve. So the more he's playing, you can tell he's getting better. So look, in terms of the game, I'm afraid, but I think the energy around the team looks good. Wednesday night at the team hotel, they looked upbeat. They didn't. Most of the time, sometimes when you go there, Charlie, you can tell they are not too happy people around. They are a bit grumpy, but this time the energy looked good. Stephen Appiah being in camp with them, Baby Jet leading the jam. It looks like the energy around the team is good, and it's very necessary.
I love it.
Yeah, it's very, very, very necessary, especially in a game like this. Jordan mentioned something during the interview. He said it was one of the easy games. On paper, it looks easy, but managing the pressure is basically what is defeating them. There is a lot of pressure when it comes to playing for Ghana. Look, it's Chad, but somebody has never played at the Accra Sports Stadium in front of home fans before. Like, this is the first time he's going to play there. He's not had the privilege and experience of playing in junior national teams, getting through this national team culture. So this is like the first time or second time he's playing in front of a packed stadium. Mm-hmm. So it is difficult. So when the energy around the team is good, when the feel-good factor is there, it helps them settle in an environment like this. And I'm really hoping that, as Sitio said, the start is extremely important.
Yeah.
Because, especially like Accra fans, you don't get time. Like, you said 20 minutes.
They're not patient. Everyone knows
minutes,
all about
10
them.
10 minutes, somebody has already
10
started
minutes.
Forming an opinion about
CK.
Challenge, quick. So,
it is Syria, 1998, I think. Before the Clemson match. What they did to the people at Accra Sports, they were in the
98.
Yes, 97, 98, I think.
Ghana, Algeria. They gave it to the players.
Hey! Did they start it?
Where? You see, that's... If you're not going to get back, you're going to get back. Do you understand what it means? Dan, can you explain that?
If you coach the talk, I will bow.
His lunch that he has forfeited
to come
and pay and watch you. Yes! Ishwaneshka.
Yeah, Charlie. That you can finish for me.
Charlie, so the start is extremely important.
Yeah.
And even for the players, if they start well and early goal goes in, and remember the Central African Republic game?
Yeah.
We started 6 minutes, the penalty went in, like Kumasi was on fire. Even though we went in the break 2-1 down, there was still a few good factor because for large sections of the first half, they had played well. Then they came back in the second half. It was raining. Kumasi was on fire. And within the first 10 minutes, we were leading by 3-2. That's the sort of energy we need. But you see, we need the team to give the fans the energy. And that's why the start is extremely important today. If they can start well, get an early goal, I have a very good feeling. A very good feeling that today I will be singing this thing, Obinyani Mio, on commentary because Jordan has already promised if he scores, he's going to do the like the promise.
And Inaki,
Inaki too said, Meshego.
Meshego,
Meshego. So, Charlie, we said it last night, we need this win because this team, the character is some way. If something goes wrong here, Madagascar, forget it. We saw it against
this team falls. Too early. Too and early. It's good that they also have a psychologist, I guess, right? Because Otto spoke
I
about
I told him. You the last time. The psychologist know his work. Me, cause 90.
Why?
Oh, after he talks, somebody too will come and talk. And when that person talks, it is his voice that will hear for the last before they enter the pitch. That, so is it?
That's not even Ito. Oh no, they will put for video and put on YouTube. And
guys,
psychologist is the one being a psychologist to the
guys, 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 guys. Let's hope.
Okay.
You see, when I saw Shefa, I thought he was going to be a certain type, like because of his age, but he's on the field.
Oh, he has something to prove.
So let's hope and pray that his presence can curtail some of these excesses. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
So far, it hasn't proven to be. Yes, but we'll see.
It's
hope.
It's hope.
Yeah, you use hope.
Yes, the word is hope.
Actually,
because if I allow you people,
my good friend says, Shefa, Nani.
Like she Nani. Fento is true. But you see, sometimes the English word benefit of doubt was there for a purpose.
Of course. You have to give me the benefit of the doubt.
If you don't, our mindset is not correct.
Actually,
but when we have given you that benefit of doubt, you had the opportunity to dispense. You said, no, I will maintain and I will upgrade.
Yes.
So we have allowed, giving you the benefit of doubt to maintain upgrade.
Yeah,
do it. And so our part now is to support.
Sure.
So let's do our part. Then if ever there's a need to do a review, then we can come in. Otherwise,
actually,
for now.
Briefly, I want to take phone calls and give away some tickets. What are you looking out to see?
For me, I'm looking at the players more than the coach.
Okay.
Yes, it is true when Jordan says we're going through a period of transition, but every transition has to end. And transitions typically should not go beyond 3 years. But we have been transitioning for about 6 years. There are certain players who I think are due a big performance and sustained big performances in the national team. Mm-hmm. So when a lot of the new guys in the team were first introduced, were told that because they did not have significant football orientation in Ghana, they would need a period of acclimatization.
Mm-hmm.
But that narrative today is an excuse because Antoine Semenyo is into his fourth year with the Black Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Inyaki Williams is into his fourth year with the Black Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Kamaldeen Sulemana is into his fifth year with the Black Stars.
Mm.
There are about, for a significant percentage of the
current squad
group that has been invited, they have played a minimum of 4 years for the Black Stars. If you look at the key names in the team, they have even played for the team for a longer period. Every transition period, if you are going to actually move beyond the transition phase to find consistency, one of the key requirements or one of the conditions is that the players on the pitch become an extension of the coach's authority in two areas. One, in being able to respond to real time or real game incidents, be it technical, whatever it is, that they have, because you are the first point of call. Before a coach can make that tactical tweak and react to a pattern that is beginning to hurt the team, players would have experienced it first. So that level of responsibility needs to be there. Then there is the individual bit of
when needs must, take the game by the scruff of the neck and make something happen. We haven't seen that in a very long time. The last big performance that we can think of came from Jordan, Central African Republic.
The hat trick.
Exactly. So it is important. Look, and just to call back on what Jordan said, when he mentions the transitions of 2009 and then I think in 2012, in each of those big competitions, we had new players in the team who delivered significant performances in watershed moments. Unfortunately for this group, some of the players have had theirs, but have gone back again. So whilst Kujua Samoa had this against Mali in 2009, together with Anthony Annan and kicked on, Kudus played a blinder at the World Cup against South Korea, and since then it's been, maybe the AFCON was the other exception where he excelled. Iñaki scored that Leeds goal against Madagascar, and since then it's been. So they owe it to themselves, and they owe it to Ghanaians, that today they deliver a big performance.
Amazing stuff, actually. Thank you. I'm going to open the phone lines now. Call in and let's know your thoughts about the game. I'm also giving away some tickets. They're cheap tickets, but the tickets are hard to come by. So I'm going to leave them at the front desk. And then if you're going to the stadium, you can pass by and pick up one. So the number to call is 0551111997. 0551111997. And then also 0302-216-541. Colin, let me know your thoughts about the game. Of course, your expectations, what you want to see from the coach ahead of today's game as well. Also, your WhatsApp messages are welcome on 0551111997. Nana says, I'm with Achu. Very unnecessary speeches. When are they going to leave the team alone? If it's not Isha Allah and vice prayers, is speech we. All right, let's go to the phone line. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes,
your name and where you're calling from?
It's Arnold.
Arnold, please go ahead.
Yeah, we are winning. We are winning for sure. Okay. The commitment of the old players, the senior players, and all that happened, Charlie, we are winning.
All right, we are winning. Arnold, do you want a ticket?
Yes, please, I need a ticket.
I'll leave it at the front desk, so you come and pick it up, okay?
Okay, thank you, I will.
Thank you very much. That's Arnold. We've got more messages here. As well, this one says, I wish you guys would discuss this game professionally and cut down on the mischief and persistent criticism. All right, courage in Koforidua. Today's match day. And he said, okay, I hope we made you proud. This one says, this is from Philip in Kokrobite, who says, Sicho, what about IGF? What about Dr. Amin's mid-year budget in November? And remember, the appropriation bill for Dr. Tufosin's budget itself has not even been passed. This is Philip in Kokrobite. So what money are they spending now since they read the budget? Let's go back to the phone lines. Your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, good afternoon. Abu Mohammed is my name. I'm calling from Japan.
Abu Mohammed, go ahead.
Yes. Those of us who are Jordan fans, in fact, this is a very exciting decision, making Jordan the captain. And also to know how a good communicator the guy is. Me, in my opinion, for some time now, I've been saying, Lasta has never seen a very good player, apart from Abedi Pele in the affair Michael Essien, like Jordan. In fact, even Abedi and those, it was just a respect. And the guy has, in fact, impressed me too much. And a very good decision. And for that fact, let's support him. Yeah, I believe that Jordan is a player that, like Murata, we don't give him the support we are supposed to give him. And Neta has vindicated the position that the guy is a good guy. So I'm very happy.
All right,
happy.
Abu, do you want a ticket?
Oh, no.
No, you are good. All right, thank you very much, Abu, there with that particular call. Bright in East Lagos says, Sicho, there was a budget for January 2 to March 2025 read by the minister who never implemented the betting tax. So you were wrong in saying that if the finance minister had not read the budget, they would have been in trouble. Hello, good afternoon. What, your name and where you're calling from?
Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
So please, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just praying this coach doesn't play in a defensive formation. Because he likes doing that. And I'm just hoping he doesn't do that today. But I'm just praying they win. I'm hoping they win today.
Okay, sure.
And tell the senior man that you should come next time so we can bash the minister.
Everyone said you should come back next time so that you can bash the ministers. Thank you very much, Michael. Do you want a ticket? No?
Oh, no, no. I can't make it through. I don't.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Michael, as well. Let's see more messages here. This one also says, this is a message. Good show, guys. It's only in Ghana that we major in the minor things and minor in the major. People want to be seen working, so every day they are parading themselves around the Black Stars like, okay, sure. The question is, that will what will they do? Or will they do the same thing for other national teams? The government is poised to repeat the same mistakes of the SWR government. Nothing will change. Only personnel have changed. Anyway, I don't expect anything from the Black Stars. The fixtures of the Black Stars is clear indication of efficiency of our leadership. International break is always boring. I look forward to club football soon. Hala Madrid. Dale texting us in from all the way from Madrid. Let's go back to the phone lines. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, my name is Isaac. I'm calling from Accra.
Isaac, you'll be our last caller. Go ahead.
Very well. I wish the team a very good day today. I wish them they should play with cohesion. They shouldn't be selfish. They should concentrate on the fact that we have to win this match and then the next one. It's not about Kudus. It's not about Jordan. It's about the team. So they should play for each other. If anyone is being deficient, they should try as much as possible to play for each other so that we win this game. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. So that's our last caller. We have to wrap it up here. Game plan on 99.7 Joy FM. Hits 103.9 FM. Brought to you by Betway and Patriots. Ebo Apia was very kind to join us here on the show, but Ebo, you have to come back. Like the guy said, they want you to come back. Thank you so much. You'll be going to the stadium, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. You go with Achu. Achu will be at the stadium.
Yeah.
Danike and I will be in studio. Sicho, where will you be? Will you be with us or you're going to the stadium? No, you know, guess Sele.
No, me, you know what to go for this selects me.
I know you are not deselected.
Nobody.
You were arrested.
Right now, Richard.
No, you are not. Listening. You are not deselected.
Yes.
There was no opportunity to
select. There is no game.
Thank you.
Killer. Wait, I reach. What you do tell them?
You cannot deselect him.
You have been arrested for them all.
That's right.
Bro.
Guys, thank you very much, guys. Listen, but if you want a ticket, I'm going to leave the rest of the ticket. Relax. Our fans, our listeners are important.
I'm a listener to you. Why? If the boys are talking, I didn't listen, so.
Up next is the BBC World Service. We are back again at 6 p.m. with Build Up to the Game, which kicks off at 7. Until then, do take care of yourself and bye-bye.